Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today. Our verses for Saturday, the 4th of September. From the Old Testament, it's the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 17. The midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live.
And from Acts 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than any human authority.
It's interesting, in both of these verses, there are people involved in them. In the Exodus text, it's a rare occasion where you have these two midwives, these two women who are named Puah and Shiphrah, very rarely used as the names we pick for our children. But it's kind of amazing that these two girls, these two women, had a recognition, as Peter and John do in the book of Acts, that God must be obeyed rather than kings, even if that king could kill them for disobedience.
Well, and it's a good thing these midwives were Hebrews, Israelites, because they had something in their understanding of who God was, as opposed to the Pharaoh, who was just demanding something of them. If they'd been Egyptian, they may not have had that.
But even though they had been 400 years in slavery, these two women still had faith, in spite of evidence to the contrary, that the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, was the real power, and their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had forgotten them.
Yeah, they were very, very courageous and brave and convicted.
Yeah, and they would have been ministers of death. That's what's amazing to me. Yes. They were supposed to kill the boys, but instead they let the boys live.
So obeying God rather than any human authority says again, God's ways are not man's ways.
Exactly. And we all know how tempted we are to think that humans have all the power. I mean, after all, every one of us has lived, 50, 60, 70, maybe some of you lived only 12 to 18 years, but we all know people who have been bullies or superior to us or have somehow achieved a status of significance, and oh, look at them. But we're talking about a God who goes back, how many years? A few centuries and more. This is the God who is there at the beginning of creation, who created all things in heaven and on earth, and who'll be there at the end. Whoa! That's a little different kind of sense of obedience. But the trouble is, this God is hidden. He doesn't show himself real obviously to us. And if he did, if it were more obvious, as we've talked about it before, if you believed in God, you'd never get cancer. If you believed in God, you'd always have a job. Your car would never break down. I mean, if you had that kind of a God, everyone would be a believer. Be stupid not to be. Mm-hmm. But because our God doesn't work that way, it means we walk by faith, not by sight, and that is the real heartache. And that's why our leader in this was himself looked upon as a criminal. He died a criminal's death on a cross, and his whole death experience has now become the thing we wear around our neck, because it's an evidence to us that Jesus became sin for us, that we might become sinless. He became bad on Good Friday, that we might become good.
And I love the story of Peter and the other disciples who were with him. They were in prison and they miraculously got out. And then what did they do? They were back in the temple preaching, teaching, telling the good news of Jesus. And the authorities, they couldn't stop him.
No.
They couldn't stop them. And even though, God finds a way for them to get out so they can continue their work, this still doesn't even scare the authorities there. They are looking at them saying, you cannot do this. Uh-huh. We command that you don't do it. And yet Peter, they stand firm. And it's such a witness to me of standing firm in the midst of opposition.
As long as you brought up the word stand again, Sonia, here we stand. This is the year Martin Luther says, here I stand, I can do no other. That's what Peter and John said, here we stand, we can do no other. That's what the midwife said, here we stand, we can do no other. We were visiting with a friend of ours this week, and she was talking about the conflicted relationship she has within her family. And her grandma and grandma want her to accommodate their point of view and their vision and their value. And she has to stand firm against her blood, her bloodline, because she's standing for a bigger cause, a cause for other members of her family who, if she doesn't stand firm, they may never experience redemption. They may always live in the darkness of their sin. And all of you who've been in codependent homes, which is probably everyone, knows how easy it is for parents, grandparents, and all of us, that's what Sonia and I are, to try to manipulate our kids to our own advantage using all kinds of religious language or other things. And for a person to stand firm against that kind of adversary manipulation, that takes faith. And that's what this girl was talking about. And we said, well, God bless you. You're standing firm for what the Lord has called you to do. One of the things that this verse really hits me with is my illusion about wanting to be perfect. My thought that somehow, if we can just do it all right, then everybody will be happy. And that's the other thing that struck me when I was visiting with this young woman, is that there's no reality like that on earth. We all live in an imperfect world, but my notion is if somehow I can just try harder, things will be better. Well, my friend Bob and I were talking about this yesterday, and he said that one of the problems we have is if we get to 85 or 90% of our goal with a certain amount of energy, is that enough? Well, no, we say, no, if you reach that point, you should get to 100%. I remember when I was a pastor in Wisconsin, the members of my church council said to me, well, you're really good at these things with kids and with adults and communication, so on, preaching. If you could just get better in administration and making calls on people, you'd be a perfect pastor. You'd be at 100%. And of course, that was their goal for me. Let's try harder, Johan. Get that extra 10%. And Bob was saying to me that engineers, in order to be effective in their business, have to live by a different understanding of reality. And this engineer gave him this quote. He said, don't let perfect get in the way of good enough. At some point, we have to live with good enough instead of striving for that illusion of perfection, which in almost every way then leads to what was facing those women in Exodus. The Pharaoh wanted a perfect world. So purge our society of those boys. Let's get rid of the contaminated ones. Let's get rid of that element so we have a clean society. And this is happening in a lot of parts of the world today where people are purging the society. I know one country on earth has said we don't want children with Down syndrome because they're not equal to us. So they are allowing mothers who test that in their womb to abort their child. And it's a national policy not to have children with Down syndrome. They're purging their culture of contaminated people. That's wrong. And I'm sure there are midwives in that culture that are saying, no, don't kill that little child. That child is a human being. And we don't want to lose that. We must obey God rather than the voice of this national policy that governs the climate of that land.
And the strange thing is that everyone is flawed.
Hey.
There's no one who's perfect.
Right.
And it's our flaws that actually bond us to one another and make us quite unique.
And it's the flaws that bond us to Jesus Christ and to the communion of saints.
Yes.
So we realize we live in forgiveness. That's what forgive and living is. We live under the cross.
Amen.
We live under the grace of Jesus instead of in our own illusions of being perfect. And that was the authority that Peter and John trusted, that Pua and Shipra trusted, and it's the authority which you and I trust as well, who have a perfect Christ who died for you, and it's his perfection that is your peace.
Amen. Here's my trip prayer for today. I praise you, God, for your dominion over all of us, including human authorities, kings, rulers, presidents, and all. Your rule is righteous and finds a way for salvation through Jesus' blood and not other blood sacrifices. You are full of trust and mercy. I'm sorry that I waver in obedience to my willfulness, and I believe all the things from television and other news sources instead of honoring you. Help me stand firm on the side of life and goodness in the face of evil and coercion. May my strength in the Holy Spirit and the Word be a witness to those around me. Amen.
We're going to sing "Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult," the first and last verse.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day His voice still calls us, saying, "Christian, follow me." Jesus calls us by your mercies. Savior, may we hear your call. Give our hearts in glad obedience. Serve and love you best of all.
Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.